Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well.
Well, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
Starting a new journey.
Yes, yes, new journey.
On the road to Ephesus.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. I did say it on Sunday, but I'd say it again too. And that is that I love the book of Ephesians. To me, it is one of those books that gives you like solid footing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're looking for a place to stand or to put your foot down, you can put your foot down on the book of Ephesians, because it just seems like one of those books that is rich in deep doctrine as well, you know, telling us who we are in Christ, and then it moves towards who we are becoming in Christ.
Right.
So it gives us what we are now and a place to put our foot even as we go forward, mm-hmm, in the next step of the journey, right? Where we're going, where we're heading
forward.
To. Yeah, so very, very encouraging. I really am. I really do enjoy the book of Ephesians.
So on Sunday, you focused in, not really in the book of Ephesians, but in Acts, as this story begins unfolding.
Yeah.
When Paul first goes to Ephesus, first preaches the gospel, was there anything that in your study you found fascinating that you couldn't quite get to on Sunday?
Yeah. Again, I think it needs to just be reiterated that when you study the letters of the New Testament, especially ones written by Paul, that they often have some kind of root in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. And that little explanation or that little window that's given about like his work in, you know, Thessalonica, or his work in the Corinthian church, to going to Corinth. If you look at those and study up a little bit about, well, why did he do it? What did he experience while he was there? It definitely has influence on the writing.
Right.
You can see it. It's there, and it helps you. It kind of like a code. It cracks open the book to see what Paul was feeling and thinking, especially in regards to the city of Ephesus and the church there, because that he was there for 3 years.
It's a long time.
So we didn't cover what he did for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, he would meet in a hall. So he rented a hall, or somehow, maybe this guy named Tyrannius, I think his name was, he had a building. And somehow they were able to use that building. And every single day he would go there and teach from the scriptures about who Christ is, the work of the Spirit. And I thought, look at the concentration of time here. And even after all of that, which we didn't get to, was chapter 20, his leadership team that he left behind, so the elders of Ephesus, he warned them ahead of time that wolves were going to come in among them. So even though you have all this body of teaching, 3 years of teaching that he would every day teach them, at the end of the day, he still had to warn them that wolves are going to come in and try and destroy their church and teach them bad doctrine and move away from the truth. And you just think, wow, you know, we have to constantly guard, because there are so many streams of even preachers, teachers that can lead you astray. And these were elders that he was talking to, that these people would come in and become elders as wolves. And you just think, what? We have to be so careful, cautious, to guard the truth that has been given to us, and to be careful for the church and to encourage people in the church. And we never got to talk about this at all, really. I mean, on Sunday, it was the whole idea of how to protect and how the elders are called to do that. That the elders meet, yes, we do. We manage the church. We make sure the finances are good. And we watch over those kinds of things. But the elders are also there to watch over the flock.
Kind of that picture looking back to the watchmen
Of
Israel.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Looking after, watching out for any enemies that could be sneaking in amongst us, you know, and false teaching. And it's so quick. It happens so fast. And it could be, and in our world with online teaching and preaching, and, you know, I mean, it's moved from TV to online now.
You can find somebody teaching just about anything you want.
Yeah, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that sometimes you go thinking you want something and you find it.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going and saying, what does the word say? Tell me what to think.
Right.
We instead think, oh, well, I think this is what it said. So I want to find somebody that...
Find somebody to back me up.
Back me up. Exactly. So that you know, can get down some mm-hmm. pretty crazy paths. Yeah. And I think, I don't know what your experience has been in that whole thing, but, mm-hmm. you know, you do have to guard. And as much as I like ecumenical kind of thinking, I like that the church will work together.
Mm-hmm.
I still believe in the distinctives that right. make us denominational,
mm-hmm.
that it's not bad for us to hold to certain distinctives,
right.
not in a divisive way,
mm-hmm.
Like as in denominationalism,
right?
Right. But in denominations, there are different emphases that actually can be very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we just have to guard not against maybe other church doctrine, but against those who are teaching things that I just don't think are biblical.
Right.
Which is very difficult to weed out.
Right. You know, if we think about the history of the church, you went from a time period where when people were learning about Christ, learning about the Old Testament, they went to the teacher, first the teacher of their synagogue, then the teachers of the early church, whether it was Paul or Timothy, whoever right. that was. Then you got the invention of the printing press. Mm-hmm. So then people had more availability to books and other people's thoughts. Now you have the World Wide Web where you can look up just about anything and find a teaching that, you know, one topic can have any number of different teachings mm-hmm. regarding it.
Yeah, true enough, eh?
And when it comes to the leadership and of the church, elders, pastors, I think it's definitely more difficult to lead a church in correct doctrine and understanding the scriptures, because it is so easy to look around and hear things that sound good, they sound right.
Yeah.
But maybe aren't necessarily lined up mm-hmm. correctly with scripture.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's beautiful to see how Paul develops those mm-hmm. kinds of thoughts in his book to the mm-hmm. Ephesians, because I told this to the church on Sunday, that the first three chapters really are all just theology, mm-hmm. rich, deep.
Yeah.
You can run across it, skipping across it like a pond and still get something out of it.
Right.
But if you slow down and sink to the bottom,
so much
it is
there.
Rich and almost like, you know, having a rich meal is, it kind of makes you feel really mm-hmm. full. And that, I think, is what we want to accomplish
definitely
as we walk through the book of Ephesians. I know originally I'd set it out maybe over 2 months, but I think it's going to be double that, because we want to make sure that we don't mm-hmm. rush, that we just take our time and enjoy this beautiful book. And we, now that we kind of know the surrounding of what happened and how it got and Paul was connected to these people, now we get to see the fruit of that in his letter to them mm-hmm. from prison.
Right. I think knowing we don't have to be afraid of going deep.
Mm-mm.
I mean, this letter is written to fairly new believers.
Yeah.
Only been believers for a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Yet Paul was going deep with them. He wasn't just giving them light surface stuff.
Yeah.
So I think wherever we are in our journey with Christ, we don't have to be afraid of going deep. Nah. We don't have to be afraid of theology anything like that.
Yeah.
It's something that we can all partake of and all go as deep as we're willing to go.
You bet. In fact, I would even go further and say that if I want to know how to live out my faith,
mm-hmm.
I first have to go deep
mm-hmm.
and understand it. Now that, I think, is within context of growing up,
right?
You grow up in your faith like you do normally as a human.
Right.
Right. You, mm-hmm. you start out as a baby.
Yeah.
And then you only take so much in and mm-hmm. it grows and grows and grows. But that the journey should never, ever stop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think exploring your faith to the point where you are completely going, wow, this just blows me away.
Mm-hmm.
This whole concept, which is almost impossible to grasp, because he goes in right, like he dives in. He says, hi, everybody, at the beginning of the letter. And then he just dives into predestination and you're like, you're predestined to be this. And
what
is all that? You know, and he's like going on and on about God's deep passion mm-hmm. in Christ. He has called us to be in him.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm just like, okay, fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. It's a little bit like off to the drag races, you know, boom, you're out of the blocks mm-hmm. going crazy. And then he just unpackages it over three chapters. So mm-hmm. he starts out with this huge concept, and then just little by little, he unpackages it for mm-hmm. us so that we can understand it and actually gain great confidence from it.
Right.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So it sounds like we're going to be going at this differently, kind of at a different pace than we have kind of the series before this.
Yeah. Yeah. That was more topical, eh?
Right.
Yeah.
So what advice would you give to people as we're starting this journey together as a church? I know you kind of mentioned a couple of things on Sunday, but maybe reiterate, how can people fully embrace and fully give themselves over to this journey that we're starting in on?
Well, obviously by preparing, right? Mm-hmm. The more prepared you are for anything, the more you get out of it. Mm-hmm. So if you're willing to put the time in beforehand, I mean, we've got some great resources here, even like going to Right Now Media. Mm-hmm. And we can tell people who are listening that if they don't have a connection to Right Now Media, they don't have the password or whatever, right, they can call our church office and we'll gladly let them mm-hmm. onto it. You can do your own study. You can do a study with a group of people, 3 and 30, you know, sit down and let's talk about the book of Ephesians as we go through 3 and 30. Yeah. So let's start at chapter 1 and just talk about it, pray about it. What do we see? You're going to get into some good arguments because you're going to have some really undefined and I think unclear concepts about what predestined is and mm-hmm. what you're predestined to.
Right.
And I think that people over the years maybe have landed in certain camps without really fully knowing why they're there mm-hmm. and or having them half developed because somebody else has said something. And so I just believe the hook, line, sinker because I like that guy mm-hmm. or I like his teaching.
Right.
I think there's going to be some of that. But don't be afraid of that. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to ruin a friendship over it. It's not worth it. But it is still very interesting how mm-hmm. you can fall on two lines of a certain fault. And or not a fault. Right. I shouldn't say it that way. Two lines of a certain way of thinking.
Yeah,
and not fault the other, mm-hmm. but at the same time be different.
Right, definitely.
So yeah, go for it. You know, mm-hmm. plunge in, talk mm-hmm. about it, pray about it, read about it, mm-hmm. because we're going to be doing that as we prepare our messages. Definitely. And like this, that's why we have this podcast, because we just can't cover it all in a short message on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. And to unpackage it some more is very helpful. Definitely.
Yeah, it's awesome.
One of the things that I wanted to bring up too was the whole, the idea that Apollos was a part of this journey. Mm-hmm. I felt like I did okay in terms of unpackaging that.
Yeah.
But the whole idea that each of us is called to a different aspect of ministry mm-hmm. and how Paul described it in 1 Corinthians, where one was called to plant the seed, the other was called to water.
Right.
But in the Ephesian situation, it was reversed. So then Apollos was the one who planted the seed. Mm-hmm. Paul brought the water. And in both cases, God brings the increase. Yeah. But what it shows is, even at the very beginning where Paul prays and asks the Holy Spirit to come on these guys and the gift of tongues mm-hmm. comes upon them and they speak in tongues and the others, the prophecies that came, like there's nothing written about, well, what was said?
Right.
What were the prophecies that were said? Were the prophecies about what was coming? Like, who knows, right? There's just nothing there. Mm-hmm. And so the fact is, though, it doesn't really matter because the Holy Spirit brought gifts. Mm-hmm. He always brings gifts. Right. And those gifts are weird. They're not for me. Mm-hmm. They're for thee.
Right.
It's a gift that I'm given for the benefit of other people.
Right.
And it's the beauty of how the church is to work together for the common good. Mm-hmm. And I like the fact that we got to unpackage that a little bit on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. But I think it would be good to bring it up again and to sort of dive into, well, what does that actually mean? And how do I know I have a gift? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously the scripture tells me that I have one.
Right.
To each one is given. Mm-hmm. So that's very clear.
Right.
No doubt about that. And it's for the common good. For the
common good.
Yeah. By the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So he gets to determine who gets what gift.
Right.
And so we go from there and we just unpackage. Well, what is it that I like? How do I learn my gift? Mm-hmm. What do I think I have? What do I would like to try maybe and discover my gift? As one pastor, I think Rick Warren talks about how your gift is discovered not by reading about it, but by actually getting out there and doing some ministry. Mm-hmm. And you'll find out that your gift will help you gravitate
right,
to where you're in your sweet spot. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, this is fun. I like this. Because a gift, you know, a gift is always pleasant.
Right? Definitely. Well,
it should be anyway. Yeah. and that pleasantry, that sense of the pleasure of God in your mm-hmm. gifting is meant to be given away. So it's not even really a task. Like, it's hard work to preach.
Right.
By preparing.
Yes.
But when I preach, it is the lightest thing in my heart. Mm-hmm. I can just let it out.
Yes.
Right. And to me, after I'm finished, I'm exhausted. Sure.
Right.
But it's a good exhaustion.
Right. Definitely.
Right? When I do a leadership, something with our leaders, when I mm-hmm. train or teach or do anything like that, I always come away feeling lighthearted because mm-hmm. I'm using my gifts and my skills
right.
that God has given to me mm-hmm. to do these things. In a situation where it calls for faith, because I think one of the things God has gifted me in is gift of faith, mm-hmm. is that I tend to latch onto big ideas mm-hmm. and they get me excited. And, right. you know, like on Sunday after the service, we had to walk through slowly all the bits and pieces of what it means to move forward with our proposed building and right. changing course mm-hmm. from an outside added part to an mm-hmm. inside right. addition to the actual building. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, I'm just excited about the big picture.
Right. Let's just get going.
Let's get going. Let's get ministry happening. Right. I can see ministry happening and crawling out of different areas of this church. Right. And
let's break ground tomorrow.
Let's get it done. And my faith is huge. Right? Right. And then I hear how God is blessing our church even through COVID financially. Mm-hmm. And I'm latching on to those big concepts because they attract my faith. Mm-hmm. Whereas the details, like, okay, I know we need to do this. And I know it's very important for probably right. 90% of the people here to know all of these bits and pieces. Right. But my head is already, and my heart is already enlarged to see what God can mm-hmm. do, you know.
And then what a blessing to have those other people who are detail oriented mm-hmm. to give up and give such a great,
presentation
on
yeah.
Sunday.
Yeah. Like Les using his gift, right?
Right.
He was so calm mm-hmm. and just walked by little, it, managed yeah. us through that
yes.
whole thing. And by the end of it, you just felt like, wow, the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was so good. He uses gifts, right? Yeah. Even Dave sitting there with his financial brain, just right. crunching numbers on the spot. And you feel like, you know, here's some people using their gifts
definitely
for the benefit of the church.
Right.
And even the questions that were asked in the crowd, mm-hmm. they expose gifts
right.
of wisdom or gifts of faith. Like, I think that was part of it.
Right.
Gifts of knowledge mm-hmm. where someone said, here's what it says in the scripture. So we have to be careful. Mm-hmm. That's a gift of knowledge being exposed.
Right.
Those are, I think, you just can't beat that. That's body life. That's mm-hmm. dynamic. One right. stands up and says, I sense the blessing of God on this. It's very prophetic style mm-hmm. where there was a prophetic sort of sound or tone right. to this is the pleasure of God. He's smiling on this, right? Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, praise the Lord.
That's
so
awesome.
Again, the gifts are working. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've told a little bit about my gifts. What are your gifts? What sort of things has God given you as gifts?
You know, for me, it's interesting because, you know, I think sometimes the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to us don't necessarily line up with our natural abilities.
Yes.
I think a lot of times that's the way it is because, sure. again, it's showing that he is the one working through us.
Yeah.
And so for me, the biggest place that I see this is those Sundays when I preach.
Yeah.
Because you give me any other topic other than the Word of God, I am a bumbling fool in front of a crowd trying to work my way through a presentation, yeah. right, anything right. like that.
Yeah.
I get nervous. Mm-hmm. I begin to sweat. Mm-hmm. I fumble over my words.
Yeah.
It's Yeah. But when it comes to preaching and exhortation, mm-hmm. I definitely see God work through me in that.
Yeah.
And it's always exciting for me to look back and to be able to say, wow, God, you did that through me.
Right.
And to hear other people just encourage me in that and say, mm-hmm. okay, this is really neat. And so that's what I always encourage people in is don't just look at what you feel are your personal strengths, mm-hmm. your natural gifts, your yeah. natural abilities.
Yeah.
Because God is so much bigger than those things.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think a lot of times he challenges us in those areas where naturally we're weak mm-hmm. so that he can show his greatness.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. No, I totally agree that it's across the board. You can never pigeonhole what the Holy Spirit's going to do.
That's right.
That's why he gets to be the one, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I think it does help to look in your past and sort of see who you are, because I don't think the Spirit of God is going to change you to fit your gift. He is going to use your gift to bless you and bless those who are in, I guess in your case, would be listening to you.
Right.
You know, I think that's a very important thing. But I also think that I love what you said, how there is no question that this is a gift from the Holy Spirit, because you would not function in that way any other way, right? Mm-hmm. So that's pretty, I think that's really cool. I think it's, that should encourage people to not just pigeonhole the Spirit. Don't think, you know, well, I like administration, so I must have that gift.
Right.
Well, maybe you don't.
Right.
Maybe you like administration and that can be used for the kingdom for sure.
Right.
But perhaps there's other gifts that you have that you haven't explored because you just kind of pigeonholed and said, okay, that's what the Holy Spirit given me as a gift. Mm-hmm. Do a little research, do a little study, try some new things. Mm-hmm. I like how the Kiwis always say, give it a go.
Give it a go.
Give it a go. And, you know, try it and you might be surprised that something else comes. Because I'm a firm believer that God not only gives us one gift for sure, but he can give us as many as he likes.
Oh, definitely.
He's the gift giver.
That's right.
And because he loves giving, why stop at one?
Right. And different gifts in different seasons of our life.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I also like how, you know, there's a bit of, I guess, timidity around the gift of tongues or the gift of prophecy.
Right.
No need for that.
No.
God will give those things too.
Definitely.
And if he gives them to you at the outpouring of the Spirit, praise the Lord.
That's right.
Hallelujah. But if he doesn't, praise the Lord.
Praise
Hallelujah.
The Lord. Hallelujah.
Because he's the one who's giving out the gifts.
That's right.
And in that particular case, he decided by his sovereign will that they needed to speak in tongues and prophesy. And we don't need to shy back from that. We need to embrace it. And we need to see how it encouraged those 12 men.
Right.
You know, I think it's interesting there was 12. Right. But you can read all kinds of stuff into that.
Right.
But the fact that there were 12 men who were so blessed to have this experience, this ecstatic utterance in both tongues and prophecy.
Right.
To come out with these things. And then you just read a little bit further. I know lots of time takes place. Obviously, years take place between that verse and like 10 verses later, where it says the gospel had gone into all the province of Asia.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's how it happens. That's that's the no small disturbance that that's God does in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we are not to contain this.
Right.
We are to let it out,
right?
We're not to dam it up inside. Mm-hmm. We're to break the dam and let it go.
That's right.
It's never just for us, and it's always for those around us. So to me, I think there's no need to be shy about those gifts because the Bible's clear they're there.
You know, it reminds me of the previous week's sermon on the widow's oil. The oil never stops.
It never stops.
And the Holy Spirit, he's continually moving and... If we're ready, if we're willing, he's ready to pour out a spirit in our lives in and through us.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. No, I agree. That's very true. So different from the Old Testament. I feel sad for the Old Testament people. They got a taste
of it here and there.
Yeah, but that's about as much as they got.
Yeah.
We get the whole bucket. We can drink all day long if we want from the Holy Spirit.
You know, the Israelites watched the Holy Spirit descend into the Holy of Holies.
Yes, yeah.
We have the Holy Spirit living inside of us.
Amen. Amen. The life changer. Behold, all things are new. I like it. It's going to be fun to walk through the book of Ephesians with everybody.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
Another thing I wanted to bring up that I didn't get a chance to really explore was the whole idea of my favorite verse, which I thought was kind of the theme that went through the whole thing, but why it was my favorite verse, why in the book of Acts, I mean, there's a lot of things you could choose from the book of Acts, Pentecost, you know, the whole the ministry of Peter, all these miracles, things that were happening to different kings, people in jail, all that stuff. But why I settled there.
Yeah. Why did you land on small disturbance?
It has to do with my gift of faith. When I read those words in that sentence, I feel my gift kicks in and I say, what's next? What's more? Who am I to try and sort of say, well, this is how it has to happen. Right. And I love the, I guess you could say the expansiveness of what that meant.
Right.
there was no small disturbance.
No small disturbance.
I like the way it said.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like it was a big deal. No, it was no small disturbance. It took a negative way of saying something fantastic and grandiose. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember when I first read those words, how it was like the seed dropped into my soul. Never, ever underestimate what God wants to do in any situation.
Yeah.
It can look dark, dreary, frustrating, difficult. Mm-hmm. It can look like it's swallowing you whole. Mm-hmm. It can look like I'm never going to get out of this. It's never going to stop. Mm-hmm. And then you read those words, there was no small disturbance concerning the way. Mm-hmm. And you just realize that God can break any of that stuff out. And at any moment, a breakout could happen. Mm-hmm. Just like no one knew in January, really. Okay. I mean, maybe a few people knew there was some kind of virus coming that would affect the whole world or infect the whole world. It seems like no one knew that was happening. No one knew it was coming. And yet look what it did. It turned the whole world upside down.
Right.
The whole world.
Yeah.
And you just think, all right, at any moment, the Spirit of God, and I think this is where my faith kind of lives on that edge.
Yeah.
Whereas I brighten up, I see so much could happen. Mm-hmm. So much could happen outside of our control.
Right.
Right. Outside of my hands, outside of even the eldership.
Right.
That we can't contain this. We can't stop this. We can't put halt on it.
Right.
Now we can grieve the Spirit, and I think we miss out.
Yeah.
But that, I think what happens is he just moves on.
Right.
He goes around. It's like trying to pinpoint Mercury on the floor.
Right.
You know, I was a kid and I'd sneak into the chem lab and I'd take a little bit of Mercury, put it in my hand, and I'd drop it and it would break into thousands of little pieces. Mm-hmm. And then slowly come back together again, you know? Mm-hmm. And you just can't stop the Holy Spirit. If you try, he will be grieved and he will move around you.
Right.
You can be a stubborn stone if you want to. Mm-hmm. Why though? That makes no sense to me. He'll just move around you and go somewhere else and do his work. He'll never stop.
Right.
So to me, I think that's why that verse means so much to me. And I don't know if I was able to kind of dig out why it's so important to me. I just told everybody it was important to me, where I wanted to explain that to everybody, where it came from and why it excites me when I read those words. I don't know. Does it affect you?
I think for me, it's a challenge of, am I ready for no small of a disturbance?
Right.
Especially in this season where during COVID, it seems like it's all about control. Mm-hmm. Control who you see.
Yep.
Control what you do. Yep. Control how many times you wash your hands.
Yes.
Control the number of people in a room.
Yeah.
You know, respect guidelines, yes.
Sure.
But are we ready for the Holy Spirit to break out and do something that causes a disturbance?
Yeah. Yeah.
And nothing man-made. It's not us, you know, starting to rally, saying we're going to fight against this, but are we ready for the Holy Spirit to come in and cause that disturbance?
You bet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good question. Yeah. He can work in spite of regulations.
Mm-hmm.
He can do wonderful things beyond what we could ask or imagine. Mm-hmm. And I think those verses contribute beautifully to Acts chapter 19, verse 23.
Yeah.
Is it? 23, I think it is. How beautiful that is, because you can't contain him.
That's right.
And I think that's how we should live. We should live our lives out with a sense of not being contained.
Right.
Wide open spaces, right? Big plans. God's got big plans. And he's got little plans too.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess that's where my faith latches onto is these, you know, move mountain kind of things. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Anyway, how are we doing for time?
I think we're coming to the end of our time together this week.
All right. So I guess a final parting shot would be, hey, read up on the book of Ephesians. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Maybe even find one of your favorite preachers, and they've probably preached through this book too somewhere along the way, and listen to some of their sermons and, you know, and be blessed by the book of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm. So next week we're chapter 1, verse 1 to 6. So definitely would encourage everybody to take a read through a few times.
Yep.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Get ready for this journey we're on.
You betcha. Even in those few verses, how many times he says, in Christ. Mm-hmm. I think there's a code there.
Yeah. He's trying to tell us something.
All right. Well, thanks, Ryan.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.